Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Thank you for being here. My name's Bobby. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, we would love the opportunity. Our teams work really, really, really hard to make this church feel like your church. And so if this is one of your first times, we would love to connect with you. As Brian said, there's several ways to do that. You can fill out this card, drop it in the offering here in just a few minutes. But also I want to let you know on the back of this card, this is for anybody, if you have any prayer requests, we have an unbelievable prayer team this week. Man, we've gotten a ton of prayer requests just through life and things. So if you have anything that we can pray for you or with you about, you can put your name on it. You don't have to, but drop that in the offering as well. We would love, we'd be honored to pray with you. I want to give a little shout out to Pastor Brad. Last week I was out and I got several calls and texts. And how many of you guys were here last week for Pastor Brad? Did he do a good job? He did a good job. Man, I heard it was incredible. My new nickname for him is Billy Graham. So we're going to, no, but if you weren't here and you haven't got to listen to it, go check out our podcast. And I know it'll bless you. I've just got so many wonderful, wonderful responses. Let me give you three quick things, and then we're going to jump into today's message. Number one is we're back into the flow of things. School's back. We're back into this season of this semester. And if you want to get plugged into City Hope Church, if you want to know more about who we are, what we're all about, what we believe, if you want to become kind of an official member, or we call them partners, then The Loop is what's for you. Let me tell you how The Loop works. The first Sunday of every month is step one, second Sunday, step two, third Sunday, step three, all right? We make it pretty simple, pretty easy. The first class is all about us and who we are, all of that stuff. And then the next two are all about you and just how God's wired you, how God's designed you, what your purpose is. And then that third class is just about how do you use what God's designed you for in the world and in the church. And so let me encourage you, you can go online and register if you haven't done that yet. Second thing is this, for the last couple of weeks, our student ministry kicked off, and man, it's been a blast. We've had a lot of time, but this past Sunday, our partner here, John Paul, has graciously allowed us to begin using the gym right here on this campus. So 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock every Sunday night, students from 6th grade to 12th grade, we want to invite you to come. Last week, we had 30-some kids. We had a blast. You might get hit in the head with something flying around the gym, but it's okay. We have a lot of fun. All right. So now number three, the last thing that I'm going to tell you. Next week, we're going to start a sermon series. All right. And, you know, if you go to family dinner, there's really about two topics that people tell you don't talk about at family dinner, right? One of them is religion or faith, and the other one is politics. All right. So I was just dreaming about, hey, why don't we just do both of them at the same time? Right. And so next Sunday, we are going to start a series called Faith and Politics. And I know some of you are like breathing heavy already. You're turning red because, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. I'll be honest with you. It's not going to be controversial. Anything I say is not going to be controversial. We're not going to talk about, we're not picking sides. I'm not ever going to tell you who to vote for, okay? But here's what I believe. I believe that the church should be the safest place for us to talk about anything. I believe that the church should be the place that helps lead and guide us. And so we're going to jump into that next week. So let me encourage you, invite somebody. We've been planning this series for a really long time, and we kind of moved it up in our schedule. God's just been putting some urgency in my heart. And so we're going to start that next week. Now, today is going to be kind of a prelude to that series, all right? Today's going to, we can't have the series without today. So we'll jump into the deep end next week and some very hot topics that are going on in our world. But I think it's vital for us to start this series with a really strong foundation before we get started. And let me illustrate it like this. A few years ago, there was a prominent Christian apologist, and he would go to college campuses, and he would begin to teach and have lectures. And many years ago, he went to Ohio State University. Any Buckeyes in here? All right, got a couple. So this is a real building at Ohio State University. And at the time when he was there, the people that were giving him this tour, they were so excited to show him this building. It's called the Wexner Art Center. And as they passed by, they were just bragging on the new Wexner Art Center and how the state-of-the-art building was a fascinating design because it was designed in a postmodern view of reality. And so the Christian apologist, the guest speaker, he was like, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And they said, the building has no pattern. It has steps that just lead to nowhere. It has pillars that are not holding anything up. It has hallways that just abruptly stop. And it's to give you a view of the postmodern life. It leads to nowhere. It's senseless. It's mindless. It's whatever you want it to be. And so the guest speaker was, you know, polite and looking at the building. And he after the gentleman stopped, he said, I need to ask you a question. He said, you know, I understand that they did all that with the building, but did they do the same thing with the foundation? And the guy looked at him and he said, no, you can't do that with a foundation. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. No matter if you're talking about politics, if you're talking about apologetics, if you're talking about theology, if you're talking about any critical thing in our world, if you want to make a difference, it's about the foundation. Now, let's be honest. Politics, man, it brings out the worst in us, right? There's some of us anger and just immediate frustration and resentment and even some hatred comes out. But does that have to be the case? The obvious answer is no, right? That's not what God wants for us. That's not what Jesus teaches his church. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. What does Jesus teach his church? What does Jesus teach people about if I'm a follower of Christ, how do I handle these tough things? And so if I'm going to be, do the right thing and be righteous in my emotions, in my feelings, in my conversations, where do I go? What do I do? So if you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And what I want to look at today is a foundation that you and I, as followers of Christ, must build our lives on if we're going to make a difference in this political arena that we find ourselves in today. So Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was preaching a sermon, a very, very popular, familiar sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, probably his most famous. And he was given a ton of wisdom on many different topics. And how many of y'all grow up in like old school Baptist churches? Anybody? Old school? Like, remember at the end of the sermon, the pastor would always give the invitation, right? And he would say, you know, if you want to come up and the piano or the organ, it would play Just As I Am, right? Only the first and the fourth, but they would play the song and people would come up and they would pray. What we're going to read here is kind of Jesus' invitation. He's been preaching, he's been talking about all these different topics, but he gives this invitation, and this is kind of wrapping up his sermon here in Matthew chapter 7. And so he brought it all together, and this is where we're going to read today. So if you have your Bible, stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word together. Just going to read a few verses this morning, and then we're going to jump in and see how we can build our foundation in the way that God calls us to. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because, if you're a highlighter or underliner, underline this phrase, its foundation was on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use these next few minutes in our lives. Lord, I pray that for some in here today, Lord, that we would use this as a good check of our foundation. Lord, these topics, the politics can just be so hard and heavy. And I pray, Lord, that you would use today, help us to build a great foundation on you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So for just a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about what it means to have a firm foundation and build a house on the rock that God tells us about, that Jesus was preaching about. For some of you, this is a new concept, right? For some of you, this relationship with God, maybe you don't have that yet. And for some of you, this is going to be a reminder. But today is going to set the table for the next couple weeks as we jump into that sermon. So number one, the first foundational pillar, if you will, is we need to believe the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. Now, I want you to see Matthew, what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 7, because really there's two different kinds of people here. He says in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine, and then he makes this distinction, and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, since politics, we like to take a lot of polls. If we were to take a poll in here this morning, I would be willing to bet probably over 95% of us in this room would raise our hand and say, yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe what it says. Now, but would we raise our hands and be able to say the second part of that? Because he says, believe and hear these words of mine, but acts on them. The other group that he says is not built on his foundations, who hears the words and just keep doing what I want. Keep doing the things that I think are right. So he's really breaking down this foundation here. You say you believe, but do you live it out? You say this is your foundation, but is it really? So point one, or this first foundation to truth, it should really say believe the Bible and do what it says. And do what it says. Now, what does that mean? What does that really look like for your life and my life here in chapter, or here in 2024? Well, I think we can understand to do Christ's sayings, the things that he's telling us to do, is to abstain from the sins that he tells us to abstain from, that he forbids, and to perform the duties that he requires. Now, I'm really simplifying that, and so obviously it's a little bit deeper, but overall, to abstain from the sins that God forbids, and to do the things, perform the duties that he requires. So that means our thoughts, our affections, our words, our emotions, our temper must be conformed by the gospel of Christ. I don't just read the words, I do what it says. All the revealings of Christ, I trust in them. Even the ones that I don't really like that much. All the things that God's word says must be done by us. If we're going to build a biblical foundation, his word is not only designed to inform our judgments, but it's designed to reform my heart. It's designed as a light, not just for my eyes, but for my feet. But here's a harsh reality, and I want you to understand, I'm saying this from a place of love. We can't say we believe the Bible if we don't live up to the Bible. It's really hard for me to say, yes, I believe the Bible and everything's true and I believe everything in it, but I don't live it out. Now, that doesn't mean I can't mess up. That's not what I'm saying. We're all going to mess up. We're all sinners. But if I'm consistently doing things against God's word, I can't really stand up and say I believe it because my actions aren't showing it. And I think that's what God was trying to help the disciples and everyone listening as Jesus was preaching. He said, if you hear the words of mine, everybody's going to hear the words, but how are you going to act on them? Let me give you a couple of supporting scriptures you can write down or take a picture. Just, I want to encourage you to dig into these on your own because I think they're vital in making this a foundational truth in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Notice what it says. So all scripture, not just some of it, not just the parts we like, all scripture is inspired by God. But then look what happens. Why is it inspired by God? Look at the actions that it's telling us to do, to teach, to rebuke, to correct, your training, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So it's not hearing the word of God, but it's doing and acting on what it says. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. John chapter 13. If you know these things, you are blessed. How? If you do them. You see, I think we have a lot of Christians who claim Christ that probably read the Bible and know the Bible, would stand up and say, I believe the Bible, but are we doing what it says? Whether it's a political conversation or a parenting conversation and everything else in between, the Bible must be our source. It must be our filter. Let me give you a little bit deeper, a theological phrase used for this belief. It comes from a Latin phrase. It's sola scriptura. Sola scriptura. And it simply means this. Scripture is God's inspired word. It is the only inerrant, sufficient, and final authority for the church. The only and final authority for the church. So what does that mean? In the end, when all is said and done, all other authorities in the Christian life serve underneath Scripture. Scripture is everything. It rules all other authorities. If for life alone, it's God-inspired, it's inerrant, it's sufficient. So if you are a follower of Christ, this shouldn't be a controversial statement, but it might be. If you are a follower of Christ, you should filter your politics through your faith. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, everything that my stance, everything that I claim must be, should be filtered through my faith. So that means my foundation of the Bible should be strong. I should know what the Bible says, and I should understand what God says about these topics. Now, having said that, I think part of my role, part of our church's role, is to help you in this endeavor. And that's the whole reason why we're having this sermon series. Because we're going to dig into topics. Sometimes we want to know what the Bible says about that. And we kind of, you know, I know it's in there somewhere, right? But that's why for these next few weeks, we're going to go to God's Word. And we're going to look at these different, the topics, the hot topics, the policies that are being thrown in our face every day right now. We're going to go to God's word and say, what does the Lord say on this prominent issue? Not on what does social media say, not on what does Fox News say or CNN say. What does God's word say about these things? God's word is true, it's just, it's holy. And so the question I want to just challenge you with today as you think about this, as you pray about this, if I say I love the Bible and I believe what it says, here's the question, am I doing what it says? Am I doing what it says, what it calls me to do? Am I treating people the way that God's word tells me to treat people? Am I growing in my knowledge so that I can have a spirit-filled conversation? Do I do what it says? You got to start here because all other foundations are built off of this one. Believe what the Bible, do what it says. Number two, the second foundation I believe that we have to have if we're going to enter into this political arena and make a difference is believe Christ alone. Believe Christ alone. Now, Scripture, God's Word, is the Christian's final authority, right? It is a gift from God. Why is Scripture a gift from God? Because it is in Scripture where we find the gift of Jesus Christ. It is in Scripture where we receive this gift that God gave us when he said, hey, I'm going to send my son to you for you. God gave us this gift of hope. And so today, church, I want you to hear me. Government is not our hope. Right and left are not our hope. Red and blue are not our hope. Donkeys and elephants are not our hope. They may promise you a better life, but Christ alone is our only hope. Jesus looked at these people, looked at his disciples, and look what he said. You guys probably know this verse. I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Anyone who wants to get to the Father must come through me. It is through Christ alone. Jesus alone provides access to God because he alone paid the penalty. He is the truth, and all other claims are false. He alone is life. Look at what John says in John 1, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome. The darkness of this world and the darkness of politics are competing. I want you to hear this. The darkness of the world and even the darkness of politics are competing for your trust. Think about any commercial you see with a politician talking. What are they trying to do? Believe me, I'm going to help you. If you vote for me, I'm going to do all this for you. What are they doing? They're competing for our trust. And Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So we have to understand this, and this has to be our foundation, that salvation is in Christ alone. The hope of the world is in Christ alone. Identity that the world wants you to believe, anything you want to believe, identity is in Christ alone. Peace is in Christ alone. Truth is in Christ alone. I love this quote. I read it a few weeks ago. If you get Jesus wrong, it doesn't matter what you get right because your foundation is wrong. Our foundation as followers of Christ must be that I believe in Christ alone. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about it with me. I don't want to offend very many people, so I'll start like in the 60s, okay? We'll start in the 60s. Remember the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and 90s and 2010s and 2020s? Does it feel like from back then it's just been a steady decline in our just world, in the moral fabric of humanity? Why does it always feel like year after year it's getting worse and it's getting worse and it's getting worse? Because the world, the culture out there, their hope is built on promises of politicians, not on the promises of God. And we have to see that my hope should be built on Christ alone. I love that old hymn, Christ alone. And it goes on to say, all other ground is sinking sand. For some of you today, the most political statement that you can make in your life is just shouting, Christ is King. Christ is King. He is first. So number one, believe the Bible, do what it says. Number two, believe Christ alone. Finally, number three is believe in a kingdom mindset. Believe in a kingdom mindset. Now, this one's tough. Before the 20th century, did you know that the church was the place that took care of the poor, took care of the addicts, the downtrodden in society, the outcast? The church was the place. But gradually, over the 19th century, government began to come in and add a safety net for the downtrodden. But the church, what happened is the church slowly kind of just surrendered and just allowed the government to take over. And with this, they lost the privilege of being able to speak life and speak hope and speak these foundational truths. And so church influence sank and government influence grew. And some of this we still see today, right? Many churches today aren't making a difference. They've stopped making a difference. And now understand what I'm saying. I'm not pointing fingers at buildings and steeples, okay? I'm pointing fingers at people who claim that Christ is my life. What has happened is the church, those who claim Christ, right? We got the jersey on, right? We're the ones with the jersey. Those who claim Christ, what we've stopped doing is seeing people the way that God sees people. We've stopped loving people the way that God's word tells us to love people. And that's the biggest difference, I believe, in a political mindset and a kingdom mindset is the way we treat people. Kingdom mindset involves viewing the world from God's vantage point, aligning our lives with His purposes, prioritizing God in our decision making, and pursuing His honor and glory with our words and our actions. Leave that up there. Viewing the world the way that God views the world. Prioritizing God in my decision making. Pursuing honor and glory with my words and my actions. Jesus said it like this. You're the salt of the earth, Christian, churchgoer, Bible believer. But if the salt loses its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. It gives light for all those who are in the house. In the same way, here it is. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The only way that we can live out this salt and light type of life is if I have a kingdom mindset. Because an earthly mindset doesn't care about people. An earthly mindset only cares about, I want to get my point across, and I want to make sure I'm right. And we must, church, we must become kingdom-minded believers. And I must recognize that my emotions play a part in this, and the things I want to say and my feelings, they play a part. But I have to understand what part they play in my life. I'm commanded to walk by faith. I'm not commanded to walk by how I feel. I'm commanded to walk by faith, not commanded to walk by how I feel. So, this takes work. Kingdom mentality is not easy. It is an intentional decision that I make every day in my life that I'm going to be different than the rest of the culture. I'm going to shine this light that I say I have, that I say I believe. I'm going to shine this light even in the arena of politics. So when I'm having a conversation with someone that I wholeheartedly disagree with, do I have a kingdom mindset or a me mindset? When I'm posting something on my social media, do I have a kingdom mindset or a me mindset? This is not easy. This takes work, right? This takes a mature believer willing to put in the work. And Jesus told his disciples, you remember what Jesus told his disciples when he looked at him and he said, guess what, guys? In this world, you're going to have troubles. This is going to be hard. Think about it like this for me. You may know somebody like this. People who only live out of emotionally based relationships, what do we see? It's a roller coaster of roller coasters. Everything's emotionally based. But to get to a kingdom mindset, if it's emotionally based, what always happens? What do we see happen? Relationships crash and burn. It's a struggle, constant struggle, because we don't have an intentional kingdom mentality. Jesus said, I want you to have a kingdom mindset. And here's what happens. When I don't have a kingdom mindset, what takes over? My leadership, my identity, my words then begin to be shaped by culture instead of by God's word. The things that I do, the way that I lead, the things that I think, if I don't have a kingdom mentality, it ends up being a cultural, whatever trend is going on in the culture, that's where I tend to fall. Instead of falling in God's word. And I'm just telling you right now, both sides of this political debate that we have right now, we find so many people following cultural trends instead of having a kingdom mindset. But I want you to think about this. What is following cultural trends do? If I don't have a kingdom mindset, what ends up happening? Well, like right away, distortion of truth, right? Whatever you feel is right. And you know what? If you feel like this and I feel like this, but they're different, then guess what? We're both right. We both can be right. When we don't have a kingdom mindset, when we just go with the trend, distortion of truth begins to happen. Distrust of everything begins to happen. Dysfunction of communities begin to happen. Does any of that sound familiar? Like distrust, distortion, dysfunction. I think that's a pretty good definition of our world right now. And I believe that we, the church, we must enter into this political conversation with a kingdom mentality. It is more important that we, as followers of Christ, work to develop this kingdom mindset. Because the only way the world is going to get the light, the only way the world is going to get the salt, is if we, the church, stand up and be kingdom-minded and live out the things that God calls us to live out. As we close today, I believe with all of my heart that the church can still make a difference. You want to know why I believe that? I believe God's powerful and he can do whatever he wants. But I believe that you and I can still make a difference in our world today. You want to know why? Because you know the people that you look at on the other side, whichever side you're on, that you look at the other side and you know what they're searching for? They're searching for hope. They're searching for peace. They're searching for worth. They're searching for love. They're searching, and guess what? It may be selfish, but the church, if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is and he died for you and he rose again 3 days later and he sits in heaven waiting to come back, if you believe that, then what do you hold in your hand? You hold the hope. You hold the peace. You hold the comfort. You hold the identity in Christ. You hold all of this in your hand. And guess what they want? They want it. And I get it. I get it. I get it. There's evil. Yes, there's evil. There's hatred. I get it. But at the end of the day, we can make a difference. So many people in this world today that are looking for happiness. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking, and guess what? They're not finding it because they're going about it the wrong way. And before we jump into this political arena, let's make sure our foundation's right. Let's make sure we're teaching the right things and we're leaning on the right things. And we're not going to be just like the culture, spewing hate, spewing anger, but we're going to have a kingdom mentality. You see, church, the world says, do everything for yourself. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. The world says, do whatever feels good, even if God doesn't think so. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. The world says to get ahead, you just got to step over people and you got to push people out of your way and you got to crush people. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. The Bible says, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness and then all these things will be added unto you. How's your foundation today? How's your foundation? Some of you, you're deep. You're deep into this political arena already, man. You're invested and you've probably already had some blow-ups and maybe it's with coworkers or people on the street or people online or maybe even your family, maybe even your house, right? Let me encourage you this week. Spend some time alone with the Lord and get this foundation strong. Don't rely on feelings and emotions. Don't rely on the promises of people. Rely on the promises of God. Maybe you're here today and the reality is you realize, I don't even have this relationship with Christ. Can I tell you, church, it has to start there. It has to start there. I believe that every word in this Bible is true, and not just because somebody told me to believe it, not just because I read it and it sounds cool. I believe it because I've experienced God's promises so many times in my life. As a dark, lost, hopeless young man, I found Christ, and I believe that his promises are what the world needs. So if you don't have the love of Christ in your heart, if you don't have that as your foundation, that's your first step. That's your step. But let me ask you, Christians, something. Are you more led by your emotions or by God's word? That's a tough one, right? And I don't mean I can never slip up and I can never get angry. Like, that happens, right? But consistently in my conversations, and let's just go straight to politics, in my conversations about politics, am I consistently led by my emotions or by God's word? Do I have a belief that it's Christ alone, or do I believe that it's Christ and? It's Christ and all of these things, Christ and these people, Christ and me. What is your mentality? Do I have a kingdom mentality or do I have a me mentality? I believe that we can change the conversation when we believe God's word and do what it says. When we believe and put our hope in Christ alone, not in any man, not in any government, not in any policy, I believe that we can make a difference, truly can make a difference. Our world needs kingdom-minded believers to say, you know what? I'm going to be that salt and light that God calls me to be. It may be hard. It's going to be hard. But I'm going to believe. Father, I just ask you right now in this moment that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I know that this is such a, sometimes this can be such a hard thing. In the middle of an election year, as we put leaders over us, God, and so polarizing, it's so divisive. Lord, I pray that we as Christians would stand up for your word. We would stand up for the things that your word calls us to stand up for. We would not back down. But God, we would do it in love. We would do it the way you would do it. Give us a kingdom mindset. Lord, I pray that City Hope Church, and I pray that all church, all Christ-following churches, would we be churches that build our foundation on you? Not just hearing what you say, but doing what you say. Lord, I pray for conviction on our hearts right now in this room. That if there's some of us here that are saying we're believers, but we don't do what your word says, God, convict us. Strengthen us. Give us courage to turn back and strengthen that foundation with you. Lord, if there's somebody we've already just went off on or some relationship we've already harmed because we didn't have a kingdom mindset, Lord, give us the strength and ability to go ask for forgiveness. Lord, I pray that your church would be a mirror of you in all of our dealings. Give us strength. Show us our weak places. Show us the places where we need to get stronger. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.